You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
As Does the Sun by Look Blue Go Purple. We've got Francisca Griffin on the line. Kia ora, Francisca. How are you this morning?
Oh, kia ora, Rachel. I'm dandy. How are you?
Good. So stoked to chat with you. Congratulations are in order for Look Blue Go Purple being awarded the Classic Record Award from IMNZ this year at the Tate Prize, which is happening in a couple of weeks' time. This is for compilation, which, as it says in the name, is a collection of EPs and tracks that you guys had released across your career. It kind of packaged up that moment in time a little bit. This must be quite a cool feeling. How are you guys feeling as a band having this record celebrated now?
Oh, we're pretty stoked. It's it was a huge surprise. We didn't, you know, it took a few days for it to really sink in. And it's amazing to have that work that we did recognized in this way. And, you know, it's a total surprise because, you know, we were making that music because we loved it and we loved playing and we loved being together. And I think anybody was, who looks 20, 30 years in the future? Nobody. Well, you know, maybe planners, but yeah, not us.
So this came out in 1991. You guys had kind of wrapped up as a band, really, by then. What was the reasoning for putting out this compilation?
To package everything, all the three EPs, in one tidy little compact disc. Because, of course, you know, there weren't compact discs until, I don't know, the mid-80s. And so all our three records were on and are on vinyl. and it was great to do that and to have Peter Jeffries did that track listing for us, and Kath and Leslie and Norma made the covers. It was just great to repackage and send it out to the world.
It's a really lovely thing. It's interesting as well that you say, you know, you weren't necessarily thinking 20, 30 years in the future when you were making it, but there is something of the kind of documentarian and being like, actually, we do want to make sure that this chunk in time, this thing that we've been doing, does have some kind of, you know, bookmarking to it or something with the release of that that collection of those three EPs. When you guys were making music and when you were playing as a band, what was the thing that actually initially brought you all together?
Oh, it was we were watching all these people, mostly men, some women, playing music, and we thought, we want to do that, and we'd like to do it with each other. So, yeah, Norma and I met and had a little band with Martin Bull, and then Leslie and Denise had a band as well, the Neenix, and we kind of met, and then we decided, oh, let's do this thing. And Norma had a friend, Kath, who was coming down to go to university, and she had a guitar, so we roped her in.
That's the best way to get it. So, oh, this person's got the instrument that we're missing. Let's get them to do the thing. I feel like so many bands have started off that way. And how did you guys write songs? What was the process of that like?
It was completely collaborative all the time. In the very beginning, it was totally... We basically made stuff up as we were practicing. And then as time went on, Norma or Denise or Kath, and later on, much later on, me, would bring a song that we would then flesh out and turn into a tune.
It feels like... For me, I'm so pleased to see this record being celebrated, because I know so many friends who see this as a touchstone for their own music. And that's something that, you know, there's something really freeing about the way these songs sound, so kind of a very specific era, but also have a timelessness to them. When you listen back to tracks that you were writing, does it take you back to the headspace you were in at the time, or the, you know, events of the time, or, you know, do you think about them in the context of where you are now, Francisca?
Oh gosh, Rachel, all of those things like, you know, I'm actually having a little tear up thinking about back then. You know, of course I think about back then, and then when I think about now, and I play now with a band, and I go out to shows, and, you know, people come up and go, you know, your music is amazing, I love your music, they usually mean Look Blue Go Purple. They're starting to mean me as well, which is also heartening, but the LBGP stuff, you know, they say, I love all that, and it's all kinds of people in there. You know, I don't know how old anybody is anymore when I look at them, but, you know, they're between kind of 18 and who knows.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's marvelous. I love it. It's so good. And, yeah, and thinking back about the spaces we were in, you know, like the practice spaces and the live playing spaces, and also, you know, the party spaces and the good friends we made, and how we all lived. It was fantastic. Like, in Dunedin in a flat with no curtains and no heating, you know. Right now, I think about that, and it's insanity.
Yeah, totally. I'm sure it's insanity, but I'm sure there's still people living in their flats in Dunedin not too dissimilar to that, I would say. It does feel...
They are.
They are, which is a whole other conversation we could have.
Oh, yes,
perhaps.
Let's not have that.
Yes. There does feel like this was a really formative time for you as a music maker. When you think about, I guess, what you learnt from playing with Look Blue Go Purple, is there anything that you kind of, you know, stands out to you as a lesson or an experience or a feeling that came from that at that time?
Absolutely. The collaboration, the fact that nobody would tell anybody else what they should play or how they should play it or anything like that. We made up what we felt would go with the song. You know, sometimes we'd go, oh, maybe that could change a little bit, but by and large it was completely democratic and collaborative, and I love that, and I do that now. I don't tell my band what to play.
Yeah.
you know, because I want what they think to come out of their instruments, not what I think should come out. Yeah. I mean, you know, of course you always talk about, back then and now, we always talk about, you know, how that fits and how this could maybe fit better sort of thing. I really think a band needs to be, my opinion, of course, that a band really needs to be a band, you know?
Yeah, totally. And that is actually a democratic thing, you know, having those different sounds and those different ideas be represented in a song is actually, the ultimate act of collaboration, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
One thing that I think has been discussed a lot when, I guess, the legacy of Look Blue, Go Purple is talked about is
the legacy.
but I do think, you know, we are talking legacy because it has, you know, now influenced several generations of music makers, which is pretty exciting thing for, you know, a band to resonate and for these songs to still resonate with people. But one thing that, you know, a lot of young women do find is there is something really striking about the fact that you were a group of young women making this with each other at a time when, at least with the lens of history perhaps, it looked like a very boys scene. Is that something that we've added retrospectively? Was that a fair thing? Were you even thinking about that at the time?
Oh God, no. Not at all. And we didn't think about that until we left town and people started going on about it. It was like, what?
Yeah.
You know, because we were people first and foremost, people making music. Of course, you know, I've got to say, like I said just earlier, that it was a conscious decision to play with women.
Yes.
But it was, yeah, there was nothing else to it, if you understand, Rachel. We just wanted to, in the words of To the Front, we just wanted to rock.
Yes. Yeah, hard out. And I think that's amazing as well, because that's what stays with you about this. It's just really bloody good songs, and they still sound really good. And I'm super stoked that this is being celebrated. We are talking, if you've just tuned into, Francisca Griffin about Look Blue, Go Purple's 1991 album compilation being celebrated as the classic record recipient by Independent Music New Zealand at the Tate Prize this year, which is just a couple of weeks away. Are you going to be winging your way up the country to celebrate, Francisca?
Yes, indeedy. I will be there.
Nice. I can't wait to see you and celebrate it in person. We're going to listen to Circumspect Penelope. I hope you have a really great weekend, and we'll catch you in Tamaki in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, hey, take care, Rachel, and you rock.
You rock too, Francisca. Have a great one. We'll see you later.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Look Blue Go Purple, Circumspect Penelope, which is one of the tracks on the excellent 1991 record compilation, which does what it says on the tin. It's a compilation of all the Look Blue Go Purple EPs, and it has been celebrated as the Classic Record Award at the Tate Prize this year, which is happening on the 23rd of April, just a couple of weeks away now. Thank you so much to Francisca Griffin for speaking with us. Such a pleasure always to hear from.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.